this morning I'm going to continue. Last week I did a message called Almost True, and how our culture tells us things that they sound true, they feel true, and they're almost true, but they're not true. And so how do we find the truth? We know that Jesus is the truth, right? He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And so that's where I started last week. And I had a couple people ask me, they said, man, there's got to be more meat on that bone. Can you bring us a little more? And so as I was studying, that's what we did. I just tried to go to another thing that seems like it sounds true and it feels true and it can almost be true, but it's not. And we've been deceived by our culture. And so I just want us to start out in prayer this morning, and then I'm going to get into God's word and share with what he's laid on my heart today. Dear Heavenly Father, God, I come to you this morning, Lord, and I'm thankful, Lord, that you even see me as worthy to stand up here and to lead. But God, I'm just so thankful, Lord, that we're here together in your name, and it's in your presence that we are changed. And so, God, we invite you into this service. We ask you, Lord, just have your way today in our hearts and in our minds and our souls. God, I pray that not a one of us, including myself, God, would walk out these doors unchanged by your word today. Lord, we love you, and we give ourselves to you at this moment. In Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen. 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 Well, how many times have you been driving down the road and like there's this one guy that just doesn't want to go the speed limit? And you've been there, right? And you're behind the guy and you're driving and you're thinking, dude, it is 75. Why are we doing 60? You know, and you're thinking, why do you not have somewhere to be like me, you know? And so we get frustrated, don't we? And then you start to think, okay, I got a passing zone. And you start to pass, and then he speeds up. And you're like, oh, and you get, makes you mad, right? Am I the only one? Come on, come on. It makes you mad. And so what I'd have to do in my life is and Shelly and Sadie will tell you, because to not get mad, I have to try to make it funny. And so instead of being mad and calling them a name that, you know, that I shouldn't call them, well, somewhere down the line when Sadie was little, okay, I'm going to tell myself really quick. When she was really little, I was getting off of a deal and one of those kind of things happened. And so, I gave it the gas and I got around him and Sadie's in the back seat just barely. I think she's still in her little car seat and she's that little. And she says, that's right, Daddy, teach them how to drive. Woo! So at that moment, I thought, I've got to change. I've got to do something different. So I started trying to make it funny instead of going, you moron, or whatever, you know, that I was going to call them. And so I started making up just crazy names to call them to make it funny for everybody in the car. Sadie, to this day, she has a list on her phone of all the little names that I've called people over the years just to make it fun and funny and light, make it take my anger level down, amen? But things like that, why do we do that? And the answer to that is because putting ourselves first is one of the most natural things that we can do. You agree with me on that? Some of you may not, but I'm going to prove it to you. All right, I'm going to prove it to you. Putting yourself first is one of the most natural things we do. How many of you ever been in a group picture? And you look at that picture, and where's the first person you're looking for? Yourself. You're right? We put ourselves first. And let me go a little further. So in that picture, you can see one guy, and he's going like this. And you got a lady with her hair in her face, and somebody's yawning. And you look at the picture, and if it's good of you, is it a good picture? It's a natural thing we do. We put ourselves first in a natural way. And so I can't speak for you this morning, but I know that the world culture today, it encourages my self-obsession and my selfishness. You see, culture tells me, do what's best for you. I deserve my me time. My needs come first. So therefore, I'm going to focus on myself right now. You see, it sounds true and it feels true, but it's not true. Because if we look in God's word, we can look at Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. I'm going to put them on the screen here. It says this, it says, do nothing out of selfish ambition. I want us to pause on that for a minute. See, no behavior, no action should ever be done in selfish ambition. All right? So selfish ambition or vain conceit, rather in humility, we value others above ourselves, not looking to our own interest, but each of you to the interest of others. Think about that for a moment. You see, God's word is telling us to do nothing out of selfish ambition. But the culture today preaches to us the exact opposite. You see, putting myself first, it sounds good. And it feels true, but it's not good and it's not true. And what's interesting is that there's a popular teaching out there today in the culture today. People will tell you, well, you can't really truly love others until you love yourself. So you have to put yourself first, right? If that's true, you have to put yourself first. Treat yourself. You deserve it. Self-care is not selfish because you can't pour out from an empty cup, right? That's what they're going to tell you. So what should we do? What should you do when you live for yourself and instead of for Jesus and for his actions? You see, we try to justify our actions to anyone and everyone so that we don't feel guilty. And why? And that's because you come first, right? That's what the culture's telling us. And this to me is a very heartbreaking thing because it's a very popular message from our culture today. We've become, for the most part, a generation that's obsessed with ourselves. Amen? And what does God's word have to say about that? Let's look at 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 5, all right? It says, mark this. There will be terrible times in the last days. Are we living in the last days? I don't know, but it sure feels like it at times, all right? So verse 2 is telling us this. It says, people will be lovers of themselves. I think maybe in the Greek there, it probably says people will be lovers of selfies, but I'm not sure the interpretation on that. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving. Boy, this is getting deep, isn't it? Slanderous, without self-control. Well, we see that a lot. Brutal, not lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, have nothing to do with such people. Man, I'm telling you, there's a lot in that verse right there. But the part where it says they'll be lovers of themselves, can I tell you, that's a little bit hard for me because, if I'm not careful, I can be self-absorbed. I can be obsessed with myself. Like what's in it for me? Or, what do I have to do? Or what do they think of me? Do they like me? Do they think I'm weird? You know, and if we're not careful, this self-love can creep into the culture of our church. And before long, we can start serving what I would call a self-centered Christianity, where we may know in our heads, we may know it in our heads that we're called to love God and to serve God and to lay down our life for him and to love others. But we live, though, sometimes as if God exists to serve us. And we may believe in God, but it's often this self-centered belief that we have where we claim that we love him, but in reality, we're lovers of ourselves. If God doesn't do what I think he should do, then God, I'm not going to have anything to do with you. That's how we treat him sometimes. And what's interesting is when you think about that, we're this generation. We've become a culture obsessed with self-care, haven't we? And we're going to prioritize ourselves, and we're going to guard our me time, and we're going to protect our mental health, and we're going to do what's best for us. But yet, if you look around, we're more anxious, and we're more stressed, and we're more depressed than we've ever been in our culture. Why is that? Maybe the problem isn't that we don't love ourselves enough. Maybe the problem is we love ourselves too much. And I know this is tough. This is hard. So what do we do when we find ourselves completely opposite of what Jesus tells us? We look to the words of Jesus, don't we? And so there's a time where Jesus is got his disciples together, and one of them asked Jesus, says, "Hey, what is the greatest commandment of all?" And this is what Jesus tells us. He tells us this in Mark chapter 12, verse 30. Jesus says, there's two things. Everybody say that with me. There's two things here that we're going to look at. Everybody say two things. All right. The first one is what? Love the Lord your God. All right. So let's stop there. First thing is love the Lord your God. Love the Lord your God. That's the first commandment. And then he tells us how to do it. And then the second one is this. The second part there is that love your neighbor as yourself. But we got to divide that one because, see, the first one is love the Lord your God. The second one, the second command is love your neighbor. Okay? And so we have to love our neighbor. There's the two commandments. And how do you love your neighbor? You love your neighbor as yourself. But here's where it gets a little bit weird at times, okay? Because some people conclude that Jesus is commanding us to love ourselves. When you read that all as one deal, it's like, God is commanding me to love ourselves. But what you have to do is you can't focus on yourself here. And I want to remind you, Jesus didn't call you to love yourself. Why? It's because that is already something he assumes that you do. He created you in his image and his likeness. And so we have to love our neighbor as we love ourselves. And he's not saying for you to love yourself because he's assuming that you already do. So now some of you might be thinking to yourself this morning, okay, but there are things that I don't like about myself. How can I do it if I don't love myself? And how many can of you agree that there are things that you don't like about yourself, right? We all have those things. Like those certain things like my wrinkles. I don't like to have my wrinkles, or the pooch that I've got, or I don't like my thicker legs, or my thinning hair. Can I tell you, that's for me. I don't like my thinning hair. I don't like that. So what does that mean if I don't love myself? Well, think about it. What we don't like about ourselves usually isn't due to the lack of self-love. It's usually the result of self-obsession. Let me say that again. What we don't like about ourselves usually isn't due to the lack of self-love, but it's usually due or the result of self-obsession. I'm obsessed with myself, so therefore I don't like that about me. So think about this. If you want to be Jesus' disciple, a disciple of Jesus, he doesn't say, whoever wants to be my disciple must pamper himself, does he? No, but the culture will. The culture says that. You need to take yourself time. You need to pamper yourself a little bit. But that's not what Jesus says. And here's what Jesus says. And I'm going to give you some context about this as we go. And Jesus is talking to the disciples, and he's explaining to them. He's saying, look, I'm going to be going to Jerusalem, and I'm going to suffer a horrible death, and I'm going to die on a cross. And 3 days later, God's going to raise me from the dead. And Peter looks at him, and he's in the conversation. He says, no, Jesus, we love you too much. That can't really happen. No, we just can't have that happen. And Jesus looks at Peter and he says, get behind me, Satan. Can I tell you just a side note here? One of your goals in life should be to make sure Jesus never calls you Satan, right? So that's going to be a whole nother message one day, maybe. But Jesus responds in Matthew 16, and he says this to his disciples. He says, whoever wants to be my disciple must do what? Say it with me if you know it. It's not on the screen, so I know you don't know it. He says, deny yourselves and take up your cross and follow me. Take up your cross and follow me. Now, when we read that in our culture today, we just kind of blow by it, don't we? Like, deny yourself and take up your cross, and kind of like, I'll try to be nice. I'll go to church whenever I can. Or if I can't, I'll watch my favorite YouTube preacher on the treadmill at the gym, you know. But that's not what he's talking about. He's saying deny yourself and pick up your cross. And when we read it like that, we really don't understand it. But I can tell you in this day, when Jesus is talking to the disciples, when Jesus said, you're going to have to take up your cross and follow me, I can tell you the disciples probably gasped. They probably was like, did he just say that? No way. He said, take up your cross. Because see, if you want to know the context of this story and this place that they're at, you got to look about 30 years before this. There was a man named Judas, not the one that betrayed Jesus, but another man named Judas. And we can read about this if you want to in Acts chapter 5, verse 37. You'll be able to find that story where Judas, this man, he says, you know, he's thinking about the government of Rome and he's thinking, man, they're overtaxing us. They're bearing down on us. We need to rise up. We need to revolt against the Roman government. And he got a bunch of the Jews together and they did. They said, we're going to go storm the Roman Empire and we're not taking this anymore. And let me tell you, that was a big, big mistake because they didn't have the ability to do it. And hundreds and possibly thousands of them were killed. And the others that weren't killed were taken captive. And when they were taken captive, the Roman government would take after that and they would march these captives through the city streets and they would tell them, they'd say, look, you got to take up your cross. And they would make a cross for them and they would have to take up their cross and they would carry it through the city streets in front of their other Jewish friends and relatives. And then the soldier would say, lay down the cross. And they would lay it down and they would crucify them right there. And they would hang them naked in front of their friends and their relatives as a sign to never revolt against the Roman Empire again. If you keep studying that out, you'll find that it got even worse than that, that then the Roman government decided, hey, quit taking them down. Make them stay up there as a reminder. And so they couldn't take down the bodies of their loved ones and the other people that they knew. They had to just sit there day after day after day, years maybe, watching their family and their friends decay. And so when Jesus looks at the disciples and he says, hey, I want you to take up your cross and follow me, you can see where the disciples might have that fresh on their memory. And some of the historians that I was reading, they say that it's very possible that those disciples were in the exact area where some of their Jewish family or friends might have been crucified. And so this was very, very real in their mind when Jesus said, take up your cross and follow me. And that's a whole different picture now, isn't it? Whenever we think about take up our cross and follow him, it has a whole different meaning to it. But we're not to pamper ourselves. We're not to put ourselves first. If we want to be a disciple, we need to deny ourselves. We need to not put ourselves first. We don't say, I'm treating myself. What you do is you deny yourself and you take up your cross and then you follow Jesus. So when you come to Jesus, you know, you don't go around and look and you say, hey, look at me, I'm so amazing. You know, you don't celebrate yourself. You don't promote yourself when you give your life to Jesus. You actually die to yourself to have this relationship with Jesus. And Paul said it this way, the Apostle Paul, he's one of the guys that was at that time persecuting Christians, but Jesus himself ministered to him and Paul, he changed his life. In Galatians 2, chapter 2, verse 20, I want to read that scripture. I didn't make a few of the slides today. Sadie was at Winterfest, so please bear with me. So in Galatians 2, chapter 20, it says, I've been crucified with Christ. This is Paul speaking. And I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. See, he's saying, I no longer live. That old man that used to live inside of me, he's dead. He's gone. And now Christ lives through me. In other words, it's not about me. It's not about my wants and my desires and my hopes and my dreams and my wishes. You see, I'm dead to that sinful and selfish nature, and I die to myself, and now Christ lives in me and each and every one of you if you've received him as your Savior this morning. Amen? Amen. Paul also says in Romans chapter 6, verses 1 and 2, he says, shall we go on sinning? How many times do we ask Jesus to forgive us of a sin and then we just keep doing it over and over and over? We've got to break that cycle, don't we? And he says, shall we go on sinning and living for ourselves that grace may increase? By no means. We are those who have died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? How can we live in our sin any longer? If we are sinning, and I understand, there's times we don't have, when we become Christians, we don't become perfect. But we don't have to keep walking in the same sin. We don't have to keep going the same direction. That's not what repentance is. Repentance is turning and going the other way. And that's what Jesus is calling us to do. And so when you find yourself and you're asking Jesus into your heart and you say, you know what, God, I want to live for you, Jesus. I want to do those things. Then you have to die to yourself, whatever that sinful nature inside of you is, and you've got to turn from it and begin to walk in the Spirit and let the Lord lead you. Amen? And this is heartbreaking to me because most of us, we aren't living it. When I say most of us, I'm including myself, okay? And so what I want to do this morning is I want to give you a moment for the Holy Spirit to work in you this morning. And I'm going to ask you a question. And I want you to let this question kind of just settle into your soul. And I want you to even talk about it this week with your family and your friends, maybe at lunch or dinner, whenever it is for you. And I want you to let God do a work in this. Amen? Will you reopen your heart and your mind to receive this question this morning? So here's my question. I've got it I got a slide. The next slide, please. Yes, there you go. In what area of your life are you loving yourself more than loving God and loving others? That's a tough question. In what area of your life are you loving yourself more than loving God and loving others? And I want us to be really, really honest about this question. And I want us to see what God shows us, what he shows you. What he shows me is going to be different. Things in my life, he's going to show you things in your life, I pray, this morning. Whatever area of your life that you're loving yourself more than loving God and loving others. And then I want you to ask yourself one more question, if you will. What is God calling me to do about it? What is God calling me to do about it? So in that area of your life, are you loving yourself more than loving God and loving others? And what is God calling you to do about it? You see, it's never a good message unless I'm honest about how God's working in my heart and in my life. And Shelley can tell you that this is true. And some of the people closest to me, they can tell you that this is true. Like, I don't usually take a whole lot of time for myself until it comes to hunting season. Okay? And at hunting season, I do. I take time in the morning and in the evening to go out and to hunt and just to be in the woods. But I don't take a lot of it unless it's that time. And there's people that will know that been with me when I'm hunting. And I'm telling you, whenever I'm sitting there and my phone just keeps going off and off and a phone call here and a text, I just want to take that phone and just throw it away. I get so selfish, and it's interrupting my time and my me time, because that's where I get it. And so I want to throw that phone away. But I want you to understand, whenever I study Jesus and when I look in the scriptures and I see Jesus and I look at his life, I actually noticed that he took care of himself. And so I want you to hear this. He did. He took time and he disconnected from the crowds, and he did go and he spent some time with the Father. And he did that. He disconnected. He went away. But he did that, and it wasn't for a selfish reason. See, he didn't do it to fill himself up. He did it so that he could be rejuvenated, so that he could pour out. So he did it for others, not himself. But what we do is we try to do it for ourselves in a selfish way. But He went away and he filled himself up so that he could spill out into others' lives. And he prayed for people and he healed people. When we see this in the Bible, we'll see that when Jesus came up to someone and he prayed for them or he healed them or he allowed the kids to come and sit in his lap or maybe he healed the son of a man that comes to him or maybe he's raising some from the dead. I want us to see that most of these times in the Word, they were unplanned. It's like it was never on the schedule. It was like he was always going somewhere else almost every single time that these miracles happened and when Jesus would take time. And so that when I look at that, I realize that some of the most special moments with God and with God's people, those special times are actually interruptions. They become the special moments. And Shelley will tell you that I'm working on this really, really hard to slow down. Because other than that, man, I'm going all the time. Just, what can I do next? And how can I get this done? And how can I get that done? And I'm just going all the time. But I'm working really hard on slowing down just a little bit. And I want to, you see, if someone stops me and they want to talk to me, I want to give my best to you. I'm going to be present. I'm going to find joy in it somehow. I'm going to pray with you and listen to you because honestly, I want you to know that the most important thing that I do isn't what I accomplish, but it's how I love people. I want to say that again because some of us need to hear this. The most important thing that you do is not what you accomplish, but how we love. Amen? I'm going to tell you, I don't want people to go around and think, hey, that Jack, man, he can accomplish anything. I want people to go around and say, man, Jack, he loves deeply. He loves fiercely. He loves well. And think about what Jesus called us to do. Think about it for just a minute. We have to think about that because our culture says to treat yourself, to put yourself first, and it's all about you. And don't let people get in the way of your schedule. You know, culture has said that over and over again, and it sounds true and it feels true, but it's not. It's just almost true. What did Jesus call us to do? We've read it before. Let me put it on the screen so you can see this. These are some things that Jesus called us to do. Jesus didn't call us to promote ourselves, but to humble ourselves. The next thing that Jesus did, Jesus didn't call us to pamper ourselves, but to deny ourselves. Next one, Jesus didn't call us to serve ourselves, he called us to serve others. And can I tell you, a servant is one of the greatest. The next one is, Jesus never told us to put ourselves first, but to put ourselves last. And the last one that I want to share with you today is Jesus didn't tell us to seek pleasure. He told us to pursue God's purpose. And those are sometimes two different things. Amen? Can I tell you that we need to take the words of Jesus seriously this morning? If we don't fight against this lure of culture, before we know it, we're going to be serving the devil in Jesus' name. That's tough. We'll be doing whatever our enemy wants and still pretending like we're fine because we go to church. I'm not saying this to hurt you. But you see, our calling this morning, the calling of those who follow Jesus is not self-love. It's not self-affirmation. It's not self-justification. It's self-denial. Self-denial. This doesn't mean, hear me, this doesn't mean that we can't take a day off. This doesn't mean that we don't ever take care of ourselves. See, Jesus wasn't teaching that. You shouldn't. He wasn't telling us we can't take a nap. We can't have that sweet treat. We can't, you know, take some time and do something we enjoy. But he is telling us that if the motivation of our self-care is only for ourselves, then we're being selfish. Our motivation and our self-care should be so that we can be filled up, so that we can bless others, so that we can spill out to others. And that's what it's really for. You see, If our self-care is to be mentally healthy and emotionally strong and physically strong so that we can honor God in a spiritually and healthy way, and we love the Lord our God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, with all of our strength, so that we can love others, then that's not selfish. Amen? But here's what's crazy. Everybody I know is all about, that's all about prioritizing themselves. Boy, I couldn't get that one out good. You know, my time, me time, don't get in my way. Those people are more miserable and depressed and anxious than I've ever seen them in their lives. And I would say to you this morning that our problem isn't that we love ourselves too much, or our problem is that we love ourselves too much. And what I hope you realize this morning is that you can't love yourself into happiness. You can't self-care your way into a meaningful relationship and daily purposes and inner peace, because self-love is always about self, and that is not the two commands that God gave us. Jesus told us to deny ourselves. Self-love will never, ever fill us like God's love will. You can try all the self-love you want, and it'll never do and never fill you like God's love will. So in the view of God's mercy and of his grace, we need to offer our bodies as a living sacrifice. We need to die to ourselves and love the Lord our God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, and with all of our strength, and love our neighbor as ourself. You might be saying, Pastor Jack, what is love? I want to read it to you out of the Bible. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, 4, 8. Most of you can quote this with me as I read it. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It's not proud. It does not dishonor others. It's not self-seeking. It's not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. Amen? So therefore, I'm not going to love myself. I'm going to deny myself, and I'm going to be a living sacrifice for Jesus this morning. I'm going to love God with everything inside of me, and love my neighbor as myself, because I already do love myself. So my question is this, and let's let the Holy Spirit work in us this morning. In what area of your life are you loving yourself more than loving God and loving others? And what is God calling you to do about it? Bow your heads with me if you would. If I could get the worship team to come. Just bow your heads and let the Holy Spirit speak to you this morning. Father, we ask you to speak to us this morning. We thank you, Lord, for your loving conviction. We thank you for your correction. God, I know that there's no way that I can overcome the force of culture and the lies of the enemy, but you can. Your word can. So God, do it in us. God, do it in your church this morning. God, cleanse us from this selfish Christianity. God, may we be a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable in your sight this morning. I want to ask you, will you sincerely pray that prayer with me this morning? Will you pray that prayer? If you'll pray that prayer for God to show you where you're loving yourself more than loving God and loving others. If you'll pray this prayer, will you just raise your hand up? Slip your hand up. It should be every Christian in this place. We should not want to ever love ourselves or anything else above God and loving other people. If you will, just go ahead and stand with me. Stand with me. Let's make this an act of worship. God, show me. Show me any area that I'm putting myself before you and before others this morning, God. And now, God, that you're showing me that, show me what you want me to do about it. Father, I pray that you would help us to hear from you this morning and to do what you show us to do. Father, we love you and we need you in this place today. I want us to take just a few moments and allow God to speak into our hearts and into our lives this morning. With nobody looking around, I believe that there may be some people here that have never heard the gospel presented in this way. And let me tell you, I've only been the lead pastor for a few months, but I've been in ministry for over 22 years. And I want to tell you this morning, I'm concerned that there's a lot of people that watch Christian messages and they go to church and they have a selfish view of Christianity, like God is here for us. We need to adjust that this morning, amen? We need to know that we are here for Him. We are here to glorify Jesus this morning. You see, to be a disciple of Jesus doesn't mean that we add Jesus, but we don't subtract sin. We've got to subtract the sin. We need to surrender to Him. Surrender everything that's in your life this morning. Step away from your sinful nature and die to yourself this morning. Amen. Let's pray together so no one prays alone. Jesus, I pray this morning that you would help us to be your disciples, to die to ourselves and our sinful nature, and to follow your two commandments, to love you, Lord God, and to love others. Father, help us to not be selfish. And Lord Jesus, I pray that if there's someone here this morning, Lord, that is saying, I need Jesus in my life, Father, I pray that you'd just begin to minister to their soul and to their heart right now. Lord, that they would be willing to take up their cross and follow you. Father, I just thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in our midst and in our lives today. Father, help us to have that miracle of change inside our hearts today. Change us, God, to be more like you. Your word says, less of me and more of you. Lord, let that be our prayer today. Let us put you first and love you above all things and to love others as ourselves. Father, we love you and we thank you, and it's in Jesus' precious name that we pray. Amen and amen.